Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Michael Rios, joined today by...
Jake Rich, Production Manager.
Yasmin Klambert, Assistant A&E Editor.
Rebecca Paredes, Arts and Entertainment Editor.
Michelle Gartsky, Video Editor.
Hey! We have a new person in town. Ooh. Welcome, Michelle.
Woo! Yeah, Michelle!
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Welcome, Michelle. She is...
What are you doing, Jake?
Hi.
Michelle Gartsky is the first ever video editor of the Highlander newspaper.
Breaking ground.
Yes.
I like to call it trailblazing.
It is true.
And she's here today because this is a special edition of the Highlander newsroom. This is the senior edition of the Highlander newsroom. We have one, two, three, four seniors here today who are leaving, unfortunately, including myself.
Surprise.
Yeah, this is like the last day for some of us. So
I'm going to be all alone. I'm the only non-senior in the room, just to clarify.
Jake is very sad. He's very aware that this configuration of people will never exist in this room at the same time again.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh. Too aware.
I can see his face right now.
Deep.
It's very clean-shaven.
Yes.
Sadness.
Just to point out, Alex Selfolk, who is a features editor and also joins us regularly on this show, is also graduating this year. So shout out to you, Alex.
Yes.
Yay.
He has family stuff he has to do today, so yay.
Shout out to Alex's mom. Hi, Alex's mom.
Yeah.
All right, guys, but let's get right to it. We have a lot of stuff to talk about today, including, of course, elections. It just never ends, guys. two great, awesome events that happened at UC Riverside that deal with diversity and gender, you know, stuff that UCR is really, really prides itself in. So, yeah. And at the end of the day, we're also going to have a little special feature for the seniors talking about our favorite experiences of this past year. Yay?
And
yay.
Me, like, sobbing over saying goodbye.
Quietly crying. It's a good day to be sad.
Yes.
Let's get to the good news, how much money we spent this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
15,000.
Mm-hmm. It's good news.
Where's money coming from?
Those are some expensive t-shirts.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So Michelle, what she's talking about is the some of the stuff that elections spent this year, ACCR elections, spent about $15,000 for the two months of campaigning this year. That is a lot of money. That is more than UC Berkeley. Not as much as UCLA, but more than UC Berkeley, who has thousands more students than we do. So my question is, what the heck?
Some people just really wanted to win the elections, I guess, including unqualified candidates. So, I mean, if they had shiny posters, then you win.
And a giant beach ball.
And a giant soccer ball, yeah.
And puppies and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Battle of material goods.
Yep. Yeah, there are puppies.
Yeah. People held out puppies, actually saying, like, hey, do you want to vote for us? And also pet the puppy?
And video games. There was
That's ridiculous. That's like a bunch.
With little bobblehead type figures, and it was saying, like, vote for me. It's like, really? Okay.
This is ridiculous.
What does this have anything to do with what you're pushing?
Mm-hmm. I think that I do have to commend their publicity efforts, because we did have a 38% voter turnout this year, which is huge, and that hasn't happened for a while.
Probably ever,
yeah. I think that...
No, that's the record, yeah.
Record, yes.
38%.
Record-breaking 38%. I think that the issue at hand is considering whether the ASUCR political parties were just promoting themselves or if they were kind of also promoting their messages. And I think that at the end of the day, they ended up promoting their names more than they promoted what they were standing for.
Yeah, that's actually what we talked about last week, how none of us really knew what each person stood for or each party stood for. You know how, like, Democrats stand for this, Republicans stand for this, Independents, you know, they're in the middle or whatever. We really don't have an idea of what these guys stand for, and that was a problem this year. But, hey, they did a hell of a job advertising.
I'm not sure they had an idea either. I feel like they started off with... you know, good intent, and that's usually what happens, but I think it just kind of snowballed into something.
Just for a comparison, UC Berkeley spent about $11,500 on their elections, them having more students than we do, and UCLA spent about $25,000, so $10,000 more than we did, but still, that's a lot compared to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like our opinions editor, Colin, he mentioned to me this week that... you know, some of the candidates also donated money, but they were asked to donate about $20 a piece, which would not sum up to $15,000 in any way, shape, or form. So, granted, yes, students are going to contribute money, but, I mean, I, as a college student, don't have, you know, thousands of dollars lying around.
I mean, I think that, like, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because on one hand, you do get your party out there. You do get more students understanding what's going on that week, why everyone is freaking out about elections. Like, they can understand, like, oh, this is what's going on. Maybe I should learn about it. So, like, there is, like, you know, an open venue for them to go and learn more. But then, by, like, a side effect, it's also just a big promotions grab. I mean, yeah, Carl's Jr. is here, that's great, but, like, is it really worth it to bribe students with free food if they're just going to, like, sit in front of a computer, plug in a few names, and then move on?
Exactly. I didn't really feel like they really promoted anything except that, like, hey, we're the biggest name on campus. Like, did they say anything about what their party stood for with all that money? I just saw a bunch of free giveaways.
I mean, they had the posters, which had, like, the different political party sayings and stuff, which I appreciated. But, I mean, those different political party sayings were basically saying the same thing. You know, I mean, united we can. It's your side. It's together we can.
I think voting came down to more of an, like, people voted based on, like, aesthetics versus what people were actually trying to say. I feel like it was, like, a more of a popularity contest and who I'm friends with or who this person I know knows versus, you know, what are they going to do for the school.
Right. And I think that's an issue. I think that, I mean, because there were resources available for students to learn what these individual candidates were bringing. I mean, we did that great elections coverage with Michelle's
awesome.
Video.
It was awesome.
Hey. Yeah. Shout out.
Thanks, video.
YouTube.com/UCR.
Channel H.
But I think that, like, the biggest issue that I personally had was, like, going online and Googling, like, your side party platform and only being able to find what their phrases and slogans were and what the individual candidates were saying as part of their bios, which a lot of them were just saying the same thing, or at least really similar notes. Like, I will listen to my to the student body. I will represent your interests. But I was more interested in, like, well, why would I vote for your party versus just voting for the candidates? At the end of the day, I didn't vote for parties. I voted for candidates.
If there is some good thing to note from this article that we did is that next year they don't expect to spend as much.
Because of lack of having to buy T-shirts, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it won't be $15,000 anymore. It will be significantly less. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, would you guys like to see more, less? Were you guys overwhelmed this year?
See, I mean, I'm like, with the party stuff, I think that's, like, over the top and kind of ridiculous. But with actually getting people to turn out to vote, I'm a little more okay with that because, you know, even if they are, you know, this one this year they're just voting for, you know, whoever just to get. To get Carl's Jr. or whatever, but maybe, I mean, this is, I guess, really, really optimistic, but maybe next year they'll remember that and be like, oh, I'll choose who to vote for, and then I'll go get free Carl's Jr. still? I don't know.
No, I agree with you. I think that the goal of this should be to teach college students how to be educated voters, right? I mean, because we're going to graduate, as four of us know, we're going to go out into the real world and vote as hopefully educated voters. And I feel like right now just having giant soccer balls and having huge campaign posters is a great way to get the party's name out there, but people should be voting for what those candidates can bring.
It's not like, you know, real political parties use concerts or bands or stuff like that to promote. But
well, I know
it's not good anyways, but
I mean, that's what I'm talking about, though. It's like, you can do all the gimmicks and stuff, but, like, the Democratic
show
and Republican
some
parties,
meat.
Well, the Democratic and Republican parties both have clear websites where it indicates what they're going to do and why they're different.
What
from
they
each
stand
other.
For,
and what they stand for, not just "Together We Can" or "A Better Choice." I mean, I think that's what the focus should be on, like, bringing what differentiates these parties to the forefront.
Hopefully, next year.
Next year.
Switching gears a little bit, the UC Riverside had held a play last week called "Bearing Our Souls." Our assistant A&E editor. Yasmin Kleinbar went to this event and wrote a really, really amazing review of it. Can you tell us a little bit more about what happened and what the experience was like?
Okay, so this play was written by an MFA student. Her name is Regina Louise, and she is this vibrant, colorful, beautiful, like, individual. Like, she has such an interesting life, and she illustrates that through this play, which is pretty much like an autobiography of her at age 11 and trying to find a mother that would love her, as quoted by her, through different pairs of shoes. And pretty much what that means is just all these different kinds of shoes that she's worn, like, throughout her life and key moments of her life. Like, she, like what she was talking about, one of her first pairs of shoes was two planks of wood held together by a belt that she was beat with by her foster family.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was incredibly, like, intense. And her just telling this to me, because I interviewed her before I saw the play, the way that she described this all to me, just and the way that the foster children and how they're treated in this system that I honestly really didn't know, like, nothing about until I saw this play, was incredibly emotional on both our parts. She actually made me cry, which is weird, because no one makes me cry.
Right?
And she cried too. It was incredibly intense. And the actors that played her, like Gabby Krushnick and Angelina Aguilar, they were fantastic. And they even cried too on stage.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the photos, there's just so much emotion there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, it felt like these guys, they knew they were talking about this very serious topic, and it just really showed by what I can see in the photos. The performances were, I mean, it seems like they were just unbelievable.
Let's just say I've never actually, like, seen, like, an actor, like, at, like, a UCR play or, like, a college play with that much into their role.
Wow.
What was interesting is, you know, me and Rebecca were at this also, is that the way it was set up, it wasn't like fully staged. Like, all the actors were kind of sitting in a semicircle, all in like black shirts and pants, or maybe dresses for the girls, but I don't remember.
Outfits,
black outfits. I'm trying to set the scene, okay?
Uh-huh.
Anyways, they sat in for most of the play. The only stage direction was either standing up or sitting down. But then there were some of the more intense moments, you know, Yasmin was talking about. They, like, came to the center of stage and were falling on the floor. And that sounds like melodramatic, but if you were watching it, it was very intensely and well acted in the moment.
It was performed at the Culver Center as a preview for Playworks, which is performance of all of the UCR MFA playwriting students' plays, which is happening in toward the end of May.
Yeah.
And so that's what it's going to be a part of. When it's actually at Playworks, it's going to be a full performance with actual, like, blocking and actual, like, you know,
full staging.
Yeah, full staging.
So all of Riverside will get to enjoy this, not just UCR.
Yes.
Yes.
Sounds awesome.
Thank God, because this really should not just be in Riverside. It should be, I think, in many different places, because it really helps people, like, get more aware of the foster care system, too.
Mm-hmm. What did you get out of it most?
What did I get most out of it?
Yeah.
Really just, like, I just got this full awareness of, like, this one woman's life and how she just powered through it and everything. Because if you ever met, like, Regina, she is this incredibly happy person. Like,
very vibrant.
She's a very vibrant, intense person. And when she told this story, it just really inspired me that no matter what kind of life you have, you can push through it.
Sounds really amazing. Hopefully I'll get to see that one, since I didn't get a chance to see it when you went
last week.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that sounds really amazing, and hopefully all of Riverside can go and see it. So
yeah,
as many people as possible.
We encourage you to check it out.
Absolutely. Can we do a halfway mark? What do you call this?
Yes, it's a station ID.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR Riverside, also streaming online at KUCR.org, 88.3 FM.
Thank you, Jake.
You know, you could just, like, say it. You don't, like, it makes the transition, like, it's okay.
You need to say it so much better than me. I just have to leave it up to you.
Well, thank you. I'm flattered.
UCR also held a different kind of performance. Laverne Cox, she is an actress of the show.
Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, the Netflix hit series. Michelle, you went to that one. Can you talk a little bit about what your experiences were like?
It was really casual. Like, it was, I really wasn't expecting how she, approached the performance, like you said, because, I mean, I was expecting her to kind of have more of, like, an interview type thing, but she walked on the stage, you know, it was just her and the microphone, and I think, I mean, she talked for a full 2 hours, and it really did not seem like it was that long. She was so poised. She basically told her life story and, like, the struggle she's faced, you know, at what age she, you know, decided that she wasn't who she thought she was, and, you know, the impact and stuff that she encountered in school and the people around her and, like, acceptance issues. And so she talked a lot about that. But, I mean, she teared up, you know, and the audience just felt how invested she was in telling her story, and, you know, how she wanted to express to people that it is okay to be different. You know, we hear that all the time. It's kind of a cliche now, but I mean, her words were really original, and I felt like she spoke to everyone regardless of, you know, where you come from.
Yeah. She identifies herself as a transgender person of color. I mean, from what I read, it seems like she had to struggle a lot in her childhood days, even growing up, like even as a college student or beyond that. I mean, can you talk more about, like, what some of the stuff that she said?
Yeah, well, she talked a lot about, you know, her younger years being in elementary school and talking about how, you know, she had some struggles in elementary school, and she was taken to, you know, to see, well, to counseling. And it was kind of brought up how they wanted to medicate her and how that is, you know, sort of the norm. And her mother, she said, fortunately, she had a mother who didn't let that happen. And so, I mean, from there, she kind of, you know, realized that she was different, but it didn't have to be like the normal story where it's repressed. You know, she was going to be who she was going to be, and she wanted to branch out. And she also talked about being in college and wanting to dance. And I thought that was really interesting, because she said that she couldn't get a scholarship to dance, but she got a scholarship, I believe she said, for creative writing. And so she took the scholarship for creative writing, you know, went to this school, and then switched her major to dance so she could get her scholarship. And she goes, and, you know, she goes, the only way I could do it was by doing that, and that's what I did. So it's kind of like she's very determined, and, you know, she just pushes through a lot of things, similar to the story we were just talking about.
Yeah, she also said that, speaking of, like, her passion for dance, she said that when she was in middle school, she had trouble enrolling in one of her classes. She said, I was told I could enroll in jazz and dance, but not ballet, because that would have been too gay for a guy like me. That's what the person said. Yeah. So, I mean, she talked a lot about her experiences, some of the struggles that she went through. And what was the reaction like from the students there?
It was very open. It was like a really big discussion, because as she was speaking, you know, the audience wasn't exactly quiet. I mean, there was a lot of students that were, you know, speaking to her. And, I mean, there was a couple people that would just be like, yes, you know, yeah, I agree. Like, you know, speak for the rest of us, you know. And I think that made it feel very open to maybe people that were not ready to talk about things like that. And, I mean, there was even a Q&A at the end, and she gave her best answers, and she even talked about things that people didn't ask, you know, and she tried to give the best advice she could for people that were in the same position that she was, you know, at that age.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I'm actually going to ask you the same question I asked Yasmin. I mean, what did you take out of it?
I think what I gained is just an understanding, you know, like, it's a different world we're living in now, and we can't just assume things are going to be, you know, how they've been for so long. I mean, you know, things get repressed, things come back, you know. I think what I gained most was just that, you know, change is upon us, and we need to get with the times.
Don't want to be left behind.
Exactly. Like,
well said, Michelle. Thank you so much for that. If you guys want more information on the Laverne Cox talk, you check out The Highlander, and also on The Bearing Our Souls, written by Yasmin. Two great articles this week, so good job, guys.
Also available online at highlandernews.org.
Yes, shameless plug. Yay. By the win.
It's full of shame. I'm so sorry.
You know, events like these are things we're going to remember. Being, you know, from UCR, all these great experiences. I'm sorry, guys. This is the best transition I had, guys.
No, I'm laughing. I'm smiling because it's a great transition that you're making. Oh.
Thank you. We are exiting this. Some of us are exiting this university, or some of us will be exiting soon. Seniors, we're going to talk about a little bit about what our favorite experiences were this past year.
Could I talk too?
Yes, you can talk too. Bex, you started at the Highlander about a year and a half ago, right?
Yeah, I started in October of 2012, I believe. Back when I'd gone through a full year of being at UC Riverside and always kind of walking by the Highlander office and thinking, like, I'm not going to go in there. I'm too scared. And then I tried a few clubs. Nothing really stuck. And then when I got really involved with the Highlander, I ended up finding, exactly what I was looking for. I found a group. I found something that I was passionate about, which was working with writing. But I feel like one of the most important things I got out of this was finding a group of friends that I feel like just unconditionally support me, who have like just been there for me through like just horrible schedules and just last minute event cancellations and, you know,
lots of drama too.
Yeah, lots of drama, lots of drama. But you know, when I think of the phrase, I've mentioned this a few times, but when I think of the phrase college experience, I don't think about like classes or sitting with professors or anything. I think about my time at the Highlander.
Oh, thanks, Pax. Yasmin, you were with us this past year as a contributing staff and now a senior staff writer. What has your experience been like so far?
Well, I actually tried out for the Highlander last winter and I got rejected.
Sorry.
And I thought you can only try out once, and if you didn't get in, you couldn't do it again. So I waited the whole year to try it again. And at first, you know, I kind of forgot about it. But then my roommate, she stuck up your advertisement saying that they need new writers, and they're like, you should try this out. You're a writer, right?
Thank you, Yasmin's roommate.
Thank you, Jasmine.
You rock, Jasmine.
And so I went, and I started as contributing for A&E, and wow, it was such a great experience. I loved it. I just loved writing. I was like, I hope I can like be an editor someday. Like, it was just like a little dream of mine. But then when I got into senior staff for the spring, it was like I was ecstatic. And you know, even with my sorority and my other like club organizations, in the 10 weeks that I've been in prod and been with you guys have been more open and more like
it's production for the lay people.
Yeah, you guys have been more open to me than like any of the other like club organizations, and I've had way more fun with you guys than anyone else.
Well, we're happy to have both of you guys here. Thank you. Michelle, you're a trailblazer. You're the first video editor the Highlander has ever had.
Mm-hmm.
You did a lot of great stuff this year and last year, too. What was your experience like this past year and since you started?
I mean, to be honest, when I first got hired, I was so scared. I was so scared because this is something that had never been done. And I admit I was rusty. I hadn't done video for at least a year or 2 years. And so I was kind of like, oh, man, I got to dig up all this information that I learned way back when. And I mean, this year it definitely started slow because we kind of had to get in our rhythm and figure out what we were doing. But I mean, as the year progressed, it's like, you know, I started spending more time at the office, you know, editing, getting equipment, news packages, the opinions poll, you know, all the ASUCR coverage. I mean, it's been like an awesome ride. And I don't think my time, like Rebecca said, I don't think my time here at UCR would have been the same without the Highlander influence. I mean, this year especially, because I was part of the staff last year, I just feel like this year everyone meshed well. We all got along. We were a tight little unit, and I think we all just had like that chemistry that it takes to have a really strong team. And I really appreciate that, and I really appreciate being so warmly welcomed into like such an awesome team. I mean, video is kind of like the outlier because I was so new. Luckily, I didn't get hazed, but...
Or you just didn't know you got hazed.
Yeah, maybe I did. Maybe I did. No, but I mean, it's been an amazing experience, and I wouldn't change it for anything. So,
thank you, Michelle.
Mike.
Say what year you started and impress us.
No, I'm old. Before I get to that, Jake, you're going to be the managing editor next year.
Oh.
You're going to be a senior next year.
Yes.
I know you're not graduating, but I mean, what's your experience been like, too?
Well, I started on the Highlander my freshman year. Around January or February of 2012. So that's going to be weird. As of starting next year, I'm going to be tied for the longest person that's been here the longest. That's just a really weird thought to think about. Yeah, I mean, my statements are going to kind of echo everybody else's a little bit, but, you know, my freshman year as a production assistant, like I they're I didn't have a lot of stuff on campus. I was commuting from Anaheim that year, and just going back and forth, back and forth. And even though I didn't know anyone at the Highlander super well that year, it was kind of one place where I did have a little bit of something. And then as soon as my sophomore and the year started and going all the way into this year, I've formed, closer bonds than I ever thought I would have. And I've always had trouble making really close friendships over the years. And this has just made it a lot easier. It's something Rebecca mentioned was the unconditional thing, and that I've really seen a lot of that, and that's been the best part.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait to see what you do next year, Jake.
Yeah.
You just gotta come back. The Highlander.
Hey, no!
Hey. No. Are you next?
I've been working here since my freshman year, literally since September. So all my college experience has been the Highlander,
so
which is crazy.
September, what year is that?
Sometime in the 2000s. 2009. Yeah. So I've been here for about 5 years now, and it's been incredible. I mean, my first year, I really wasn't sure what I was doing, but after I kept doing it more, I really started to love it, and I declared a major just so that I can get into journalism a little bit more, because coming in, I was not even thinking about doing journalism as a career, and now I am, and it's been so amazing. And I've never actually read The Highlander where I haven't been a part of it, so I really cannot wait to see what that's like. It's been crazy and so amazing, and like I said, I can't wait to see what you guys do, and thank you guys for being so amazing this year.
And Mike might hold the record for having, or one of the highest records for having, amount of different positions I can be. I bet I can list off all your positions.
No. Basically
okay.
All of them but video.
No, yeah, okay. You've been assuming you've been contributing writer, staff writer, sports editor, assistant sports editor, assistant news editor, features editor, managing editor, editor-in-chief.
That's it.
And that's it. Okay, that's 8 positions.
Wow.
Good job.
Thanks.
But you have not been a production assistant.
I do want to specifically commend Mike for his work this year. I mean, under Mike, you saw us into covering
very transitionary period.
Yeah, well, covering ASUCR, you saw us doing just crazy things with we have a social media presence now. we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. I feel like it's just the office dynamics and the work that we've been putting out is just of a quality that has been unmatched in previous years. And I think that's because that you are our leader, and I think that you are awesome, Mike. So thank you for all of your hard work and all of your sleepless nights.
I know. You guys are so amazing.
Same goes to the rest of you guys too.
All of the editors.
I love you all.
Yeah, I love y'all. Thank you so much, guys.
Aww. So sad.
I'm going to miss the KUCR too, so thank you, Lewis. Thank you, everyone here, for being so awesome.
Thank you, KUCR. This has been amazing.
All right. This is going to be the last time I say these words. All right, this has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Highlander Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the associated students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill for Jake Rich.
See you next week.
Yes.
And go to the barn show tonight, White Arrows.
Oh, yeah.
Yasmin Kleinbart.
Chipotle is better than habaneros.
Oh.
Rebecca Perez.
Shout Great. Out to my office mate, Alex, who made my year a living hell. And shout out to the rest of the Highlander editorial board. Thank you for making my college experience something I will never forget.
And Michelle Gartzke.
Okay, I got 2 things. First thing, it is a GIF, not a GIF.
Oh!
Second thing, I love you all, and stay gold, guys.
Oh.
All right, you need one this time, Mike.
Yeah.
What's up? Okay. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for listening and just for reading us. And I'm not good at this. That's why I let you guys do this.
No, that was great. That was great.
That was fine.
Keep All right, tuning I'll see in you next on week. The other side.
See you next week, guys. I'll be here.
Just Jake. All right. Bye.
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 Bye.